That'd be an obvious beginning. And the second one is a mud passer. Good. Met. You have friends in your house, right? Okay. We explained last time that the first 11 Sigmar thesis, right? Written in third person, not his personal observations. We talked about how it begins with the claim that everything is nothing because there's no Yitzhron at the end. And it ends with pointing out how not only do we not take anything with us, but we're not remembered either. Ein Yitzhron and Ein Zichron. Today we're going to continue the second part of the book. Aleph, Pasuk Yud-Bet. And Niko Aleph, Hayiti Melech Yisrael B'Yushalayim. We spoke about how this is in retrospect at the end of his life. Retro. V'natati et libi. Put my heart. I reflected. V'nidrosh v'natur b'chokhma al kol asher na'asa tachat ha'shamayim. I reflect on everything that goes on in the world. A conclusion that I come to. Hu inyan ra. Natan elokim levnei ha'adam la'anot bo. La'anot means to suffer with. This is his introduction to his analysis. As opposed to the first 11 sigmar of the thesis, here he's going to tell you what he looked at and the conclusions he came to. The first thing he identified in Pasuk Gimel was Kol Asher Na'asa Tachat HaShemayim. Everything that's done. This continues in Pasuk Yudal. Re'iti et Kol HaMa'asim SheNa'asu Tachat HaShemesh. Again, why does he keep using the phrase Tachat HaShemesh? Because we saw last week the Shemesh is a symbol of the futility of it all. Because it's just a cycle. I see all the actions that are done under the Shemesh. V'yinei HaKol HaVo Re'ut Ruach. Why might he use Ru'ud Ruach, an ineffectual wind, as another one of his images to represent the meaninglessness of it all? We saw the wind was also that ineffectual cycle. I want you to understand where these terms are coming from. Why is it all nothing? Because Mu'uvat lo yuchan litkon, v'chesron lo yuchan himanot. Second part of the pasuk reminds you of what image? The second part of the puzzle. Chesron lo yuchal himanot. Only one. Remember, the streams go to the sea. It's never full. What's he saying here? The first way that people often assume makes life meaningful is by investing in action, by doing things, by building things, by what we call making a difference. I'm an architect. I built buildings. I made a difference. My life is really what I was built. What if you come to the conclusion that in the end, you don't fill the need and you don't fix the problem? That's the first part of the puzzle. It's crooked in a way that it can't be fixed. It's incorrigible. I had this reflection once when I was driving. You know, they had those metal dividers on the side of the road. So there was one that was like smashed in at a certain place. Because obviously there was an accident. Like, how do you fix that? How do you fix one of those metal girders?
Bring it back the other way.
Oh, that doesn't work. You know what I'm trying to say? You need a tremendous amount of force. The only way to really fix it is take it back and reheat it. You know, in the kiln where they make it. The point is, there are a lot of things in life that really can't be fixed. We try to convince ourselves we can fix them, but we can't fix them. Let's go back to the building image for a second, okay? You built big buildings. Did you accomplish a tremendous amount? Maybe for 50 years, maybe for 100 years, maybe 200 years. Eventually, the building's going to be knocked down. And every trace of it is going to be forgotten. I mean, you see how desperate people are to feel that their buildings matter. Stone by in the shul, right? You see these desperate attempts in the shuls. Don't talk about it, you look at these old plaques. It's sad. It's interesting. Take a look at the Colosseum. That'll be Los Angeles. I mean, you know, in northern Rome. Who built the Colosseum? Who's the architect? Who built it? Who's the producer? Who's the hair manager? Who brought water bottles to the workers? Today, someone took out a 3-minute video clip, 5 minutes of credits. People are desperate to feel that they're not going to make it. Seems to be be a more modern issue. In any case, most people don't believe in any religious significance, so you have to remember. Next, Dibarta and Yim Libi. Another introduction, like in Pasuk Gimel. That's how you know that we're beginning a new section. Vinatati et Libi. Now, Dibarta and Yim Libi. Lemor. Ani Nimei Gdalti Vosati Chokma al Kol Asher Yal Lefanai al Yerushalayim. Vilibi Ra'a Arbe Chokma Vadat. Vietna Libi. Vadat Chokma Vadat Olelot Vesechlut. Yadati Shegam Zehu Rayon Ruach. Rav Chokma, Rav Kas, Yosef Tat, Yosef Machlok. What second phenomenon is he referring to? Second Tet Zayin, Yudchet. What second approach to life? What second possible investment? Not Maasim, yes, Mori?
Knowledge.
Chokma. I'm using Hebrew words because I'm looking to see where it's coming from, but yes. I don't know if Chokma is exactly knowledge, but Chokma. We're talking about the paradigms of a meaningful life. One person can judge the meaning of their life by what they accomplish. Others judge the meaningfulness of life by how they develop themselves. How many PhDs they have. My wife is the greatest woman teacher in the world. If anyone knows her, she's a very, very special person. And it's interesting, I'll explain to you why afterwards, etc. You have all these people trying to convince you to get a PhD. And the real reason they're trying to convince you to get a PhD is because they're insecure about the fact that they spent time on their PhD. And they want to believe that the only way you can really matter is if you have a PhD. Pathetic, yeah. But I'm saying, some people want to judge the value of things by the amount of wisdom or degrees they accumulate. I'm not against PhDs, but they're just for the record. I'm against the belief that the value of life hinges on a PhD. Of course, the big joke in Borough Park was, right? You know, all the boys in Borough Park are looking for a girl with a PhD. Papa has dough. I guess you guys aren't already. Ask someone yeshivish and he'll laugh for you. As a cousin should. But getting back to the point. People assume that if we can develop ourselves intellectually, that means that our life has been more meaningful. There are people who know that their knowledge is not going to make one bit of a difference in this world. Theoretical mathematicians. I have nothing against them, right? But yeah, I just like the term. A theoretical math. The whole point is don't think that this math may ever accomplish anything. Because again, most math is theoretical. You know what I'm saying? But if you're a theoretical mathematician, that's like mamish, you know. But what's interesting is they talk about the field of rocket scientist. You know, rocket scientist means he's aloof and not relevant. I think that's pretty practical. You build rockets. I assume those guys designed those water things. You know, put it in a little, you know, water bottles. Those are made by those rocket scientists. I assume those. Or the bottle rockets, little red things he's done. That's made by rocket scientists, I assume. Anyway, getting back to the point, that's an approach to life. What's his response to this potential way of seeing the value of life? It's ineffectual. Why? Pasuk Yud-Chet. Ki berov chokma rov kaf. V'yosif dat yosif machov. Does anyone know what English pithy maxim is the flip side of this pasuk? The same thing, but just on the other side. What?
Ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss. The more you know, the more you suffer. I always, 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 always reflect on this when I go to the camp for the summer. These hicks, they don't know what's going on in the north. They don't care what's going on. You go to Walmart. Hey, Jeannie, how you doing? Hey, Bobby, so nice to see you. Hey, the difference between the Jews and the Goyim in Walmart is very simple. The Jews come in, they're busy. They're rushed. They get a car. They gotta run. They gotta get the stuff. They gotta get up to the cow. They gotta figure out which line is shorter. They got no time. They're pushing by people. Jews are built with this existential angst that they need to be doing something. And the reason they need to be doing something is because we're programmed to more than power, maximize their time. So the people who don't do that, they have the angst. They're going anywhere for the rest of the day. Walmart is nothing. They're walking around. They're greeting. Oh, let me see this. That is very interesting. No Jew walks around looking at things. I need X, Y, and Z. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, look at this. This is very interesting. There's not a million to buy. They're just hacking around. They're just spending the day at Walmart. They get up to the counter. Hey, how are you today, Marge? I'm standing there like, give it a card. Start checking out the items. You know what I'm saying? Hey, she reaches it into her pocket. Let me see here. Where's my Walmart card? I'm like, original, four people would have been checked out already. They're not in a rush. people from the city, from New York, they're reading the New York Times, there's a problem in Turkey, there's a problem in Libya, there's a problem with the stock market, there's a problem with the Democrats, we got a bill in the House, we got to figure out what to do with this, we got to figure out what to do with that, they're all full of bragging, the stock market went down, the dollar dropped, the import, the export. In fact, they're even people, they're so used to having problems, they have fine problems. What's the crisis of the day? The Yankees, the Mets, to this, to that. What problems did the Hicks have? Hey, Bart, you heard that bridge over in Sunkanakanaki County washed out the other week. Anyway, the bridge is used by three people. just to realize there are major implications of this bridge. Three people. Hey, Bart, you heard about blueberry picking going on Sunday down at Powell Park Farms? I'm quoting real conversation. You know that. They're out of blueberries. Huh? That's a hit. You know someone who lives in the north of York and has a thick accent. And he lives with sheep. You know what I'm saying? Just give me the equivalent. You know, he lives out and he doesn't know what's going on in the UN. He doesn't know about the European Union problem. He doesn't know that Greece has a problem with its debt. He doesn't know that the English school system has voucher issues. He doesn't know. Who lives a better life? And the people in New York reading the Times, hacking around, their life is so much more effectual. I mean, on the one hand, there's a Yates that we have inside ourselves, the Yates that we know we can be intelligent, so we think there's value in development. And by the way, just for the record, I'm not saying there isn't. But the idea that my life has mattered because I have, and the goal of Kohelet is to undermine everything. There is value in all these things, as we'll see in the end. But the question is to have the perspective on what it means. The person who believes that the value of life is the knowledge accumulated per itself is going to be in for a very big disappointment. Option number three. Option number one. Now again, these three options, there are three. Maybe you don't know that. I know because I've learned the book already. There are three options presenting here. He presents these three options because he believes they are the, capital D, three paradigms of the possible ways of believing that life matters. And what's so interesting is that thousands of years later, it's still appropriate. Because even though the names of the philosophies change, the categories of the ways man can realize himself don't. What's the third category? The beginning of Perek Bet, you can see it begins with the same type of introduction. Amarti ani b'libi. We had in Pesach Gimel, v'natati et libi. Yud Gimel through Tedvav, we had to say, Dibarti ani b'libi through Yud Chet. And now we have Pesach Aleph. Amarti ani b'libi. What's he reflecting on the next psukim? We have to rely on Muri here. What's he reflecting on the next psukim? And I think it's Dafka in this order. If it doesn't pay to build, and it doesn't pay to build myself, then what's the third option? You know, there's a seal on your computer.
Seal.
Oh, like, you're not using your computer right now.
Right?
Oh, you're taping me, so bring it closer. Are we okay? Let me know if we get it. Are we good? Are we good? Are we okay? Want to see the sea lion? What's the third option in life? Be happy, be a sea lion. Does he look happy, the sea lion?
That's one thing.
He's not trying to build any buildings. He's not trying to develop his chachma. אמרתי אני בריבי פסק אלף וכל הרמר אתכם בשמחה כי אם זה לא מלאב מכם וראי בטוב. This is, to a large extent, the predominant, quote unquote, philosophy in the 21st century. The 20th century is when people experimented with all kinds of ideologies. And at the end of the 20th century, people, you know, they became disappointed. They became, what's they're looking for? Disillusioned with the fact that my life is about this religion or this ism, socialism, communism, fascism, nationalism, you name it. So what's my life about? Whoever has the most possessions by the time he dies wins. Whoever can have the most fun by the time he dies wins. That would be the modern formulation of it. The gun, he may go through all of it. The answer is obvious. It's a lot of fun, but what does it do for you? What do you have afterwards? What's so interesting about the different pleasures of life is that
you have a big taiva for them, you get them, and then you finish them. And what do you have afterwards? Absolutely nothing. Meaning, if you eat, you know, your favorite fruit, spare ribs, you know, fill in the blank there, right? Pickles, you know, soda, you have real, you know, calories, you have all club, mamish fat, the whole deal. Half an hour later, do you feel any different than you felt before? They might say you feel full. Yeah, you could feel full eating, you know, asparagus. I don't think that, you can't really be full eating asparagus. Am I right? I don't know. Can you be full from asparagus?
Probably not.
I mean, not the same way, but you know, I mean, it's depressing. And you know, hopefully none of you know about this, but sexuality is the same way. There's a tremendous time at this part, you guys know that, right? And person has the action and that's it, finished. What does that tell you? Why are we constructed that way? Why can't we get to a point where we've enjoyed and we walk around feeling happy about the enjoyment we had? That's where we're programmed. By the way, if we did feel that way, it would be too deceptive for us because we would think that pleasure meant something. Thankfully, we are created in a way that we can't deceive ourselves if we're being objective. Of course, we're very often interested in deceiving ourselves, and men can convince themselves of anything. But ultimately, if you look at it objectively, pleasure doesn't get me anywhere. And it doesn't matter, and there's no pleasure meter. And it's not like if you have a rich kid who's got a lot of pleasurable things in life, he's happier at age 18 than a poor kid who didn't have those pleasures. Pleasure doesn't make you happy, as if happiness mattered either, right? But let's say it did. It doesn't get you there. You know what's interesting? A few years ago, I was driving on the road. And I look out my window, and there is this big tongue. It was attached to a bigger dog. But it was weird, but I saw first was the tongue hanging out the window. Wagging, you know, so. And this dog was there, he's smiling, you know. The guy, I'm driving around 70, this guy's driving 70, right, you know. And he's got his tongue out the window. How happy is that dog? Are we a happy dog? Are we as happy as this seal? As that dog? We walk around worried about this, we got to fix this problem. You can take the seal back if you want. Now comes the important part of the puzzle game. Characters of each. There are two things about it. למשוך ביין את בשרי וליבי נוהג בחוכמה ולאכול בשכלות עד אשר אראה איזה תחום בפני האדם אשר יעשו תחת מים מספר ימי חייה. אין לנו את הזמן חזקים עזבה? Yes.
I'm actually attempting to do all three.
Muhammad tells us that he saw his life as being a mission to use himself as a guinea pig so that he could determine what would be good for people in their limited days. What's the problem? The problem is that we don't have enough time in life to figure out how to live our lives properly. And generally when people figure it out, it's too late. I remember when I was in Shana Aleph in Yeshiva. We were starving. That's whenever I hear people, you know, they complain about yeshiva and food, etc. I'm like, this is great food. There's a lot of food. I remember when I was in Shana Aleph, we came in after Yom Kippur to the dining room. It was a big bowl of rice. That was it. Nothing else, no food, no drink, no plates, no forks, just a bowl of rice. That was in the same place it was on Erev Yom Kippur. And we were not in Yeshiva with Burgers Bar and Bonkers and, you know, pizza shop. It was in the middle of nowhere. What do you do? Where do you go? Like here in Yeshiva, they have food restaurants. So, but by the time Yeshiva, you know, gets back and forth, everybody eating pizza, Bonkers, and Burgers Bar, the Yeshiva always complains, they make food. Nobody eats it because they all run out, you know, within 5 seconds. So, well, they say, oh yeah, so we got invited out. The rule in Yeshiva was, everybody got invited out once, all year. We didn't know this in El Osman. We got invited out, and time for dessert. So the, you know, the Rebbetzin said, do you want chocolate cake or apple pie? So one guy says chocolate cake, and he says apple pie, chocolate cake. Finally, comes a guy named Danny Rapp. I appreciate it. I don't know. I'll try both and let you know afterwards.
Halavai, life could be that way. Halavai, life could be that way. But it can't. And not only do people not have enough time to run these experiments, we don't have the resources. Okay, you know what? Let's see if life is about building universes. You know what I mean? Let's see if life is about ultimate pleasure. Unfortunately, most of us do not have the ability to buy ourselves ultimate pleasure. Maybe life is about the accumulation of wisdom. How wise are we? It was like when kids tell me the conclusions they've reached at the ripe old mature age of 18. That the meaning of life, the meaning of wisdom. It's in my experience I've come to the conclusion. Very nice. You know, most of us, even at age 90, are still stupid. You mean, how much wisdom have we really accumulated? And give us the right to say that wisdom amounts to this. Oh yeah, I know that in the Western world, and particularly America, even more than England, everybody has not only a right to opinion, but their opinion is equally right. That's their whole board of attention. We get some kind of deeply sick person who's interviewed. Then the psychologist explains what the problem is and what he needs to do and blah, blah, blah. Then they go to the audience. I think, who are you? What do you know about sadist act murderers? I think, well, with all due respect to psychologists, which people don't even say anymore, but you should have more respect. He knows something. You know nothing. But the thing, all these talk shows, people can call up to the fan and say, the Mets need to trade Delgado. You're a fat guy from Brooklyn, just eat hot dogs. You know about salary caps, you know about batting average, you know about, the way they match statistics, predicting how a person's going to age, what his body's going to be. It's a professional field. All these things are professional. That's how the stock market goes. You know, in order for people to make money, people need to lose money. Which means there need to be enough suckers who think they know what they're doing on the stock market, investing the wrong way, so the fat cats can make money. And thankfully, there are enough people out there who think they know what they're talking about, right? So they invest in the stock market. You should not invest in the stock market without an expert, because you will lose more than you win. Inevitably. Yeah, people are professionals. They know exactly what to predict. They're not going to be right 100% of the time, but they're right 51% of the time, which is enough to make money. You'll be wrong at least 49% of the time. By the way, the reason people think they can invest in the stock market and win is because everyone's heard someone talking about how they invested and won. Of course, the person only tells his win stories. You don't hear about the 99 other times when you invested and lost. The point is, we think we know more than we know. So the question is, who can really talk about what wisdom can amount to? Who can really talk about what pleasure can amount to? Who can really talk about what deeds can amount to? It would have to be someone who had the resources and time and mission of experimenting with these things. And small amounts, friends. Hey, amen. Smartest guy I've ever lived. Empire builder. Very rich dude with 1,000 wives. I think I know what I'm talking about. Now, you might say, sure, you could have experimented, but did you intend to? Yes. Most of the character here is going to be him describing to you his laboratory conditions. I remember when I was in high school, we used to have labs. You guys still have labs? Mm-hmm. Running, but we had typing also, but we had labs. And so, labs in the MTA basement, where they have a lounge, typing system. So, you have to think, we had a lab. So, first we had a lab with all the conditions, right? I have this kind of scale, I have this kind of and this kind of right? I don't remember that part of lab part. I just remember figuring out what the result should be and how to doctor the experiment in my lab book so that it should come out that way. Yeah. That's what I know from that. Anyway, doctoring has to be done in science. Yes, it was science, but to make sure you were close enough to succeed, but far enough to be realistic. That's why I knew that if I ever became a lab tech, I was going to substitute the wrong material and see what the people got for results. Oh, you got the result, did you? It's us here to give people their lab book to take home to write up the experiment. That's like Russell Nucky in MTA for doctoring the experiment, for studying the experiment. The first time they're like, you have to take it home and work on it at home? You should have to be sitting class, you write down what you did, you had to write that hard, you write down the results, and you give them your lab book. That's like with Mazer, to send people home with a lab book written in pencil. But they're thinking. Some of them, could they still do it this way? Go home and work on your lab book. Sure, yeah.
We'll find out where it should be. Just personal. Anyway, Shekhar Hanan says, I did both. Limshoch bayayim et besarim, to enjoy the pleasures of life, wine in my flesh. Vilibi noheg bechokhma, till I could determine what works. Now I'm going to go through quickly his last condition. Higdalti ma'asai, beniti li batim natati li kwenin asiti li gano tufar disim natati gamei tkoperi. Asiti li brechot ma'im rashkot yen yag tzomech eksim, kaniti abadim ushpachot uvnei rayet ayali, gam mikneh vakar vatson habe ayali, mikol shayu lefanai bi-Yerushalayim. Pasu sama kaf shalom. Kanasti li gam kesef izahav uskulat nilasim, gam medinot as עשיתי לי שרים ושרות, סינים פרדים, ותענוגות בני אדם שידה ושידות. וגדלתי וסוספתי מכל שירתיים בירושלים, אף חכמתי עמדה לי. את אגב הדיונית, מהכוח בסתק אליה. וכל אשר שאלו עיניי, לא עצרתי מהם. לא מנעתי את ליבי מכל שמחה, כי ליבי שמח מכל המלאי, אין פה מול זה מפסגיר, וזה היה חלקי מכל המלאי, מזמור הקנאה. Ufaniti, which means I turned. It comes from the word panim, because when you turn, you face a new direction. Ufaniti ani, I turned and looked at kol ma'asai she'asu yadayim. Uve'amal she'amalti la'asot. Remember the first reflection he put on the table in the end of Perek Aleph was ma'asim, right? V'hineh hakol hebel u'ut ruach. Why? Because ain't yitzron tachat ha'shamash. There's nothing is gained. ופניתי אני לראות חוכמה והוללות בשיחות כי מה האדם שיבוא אחרי המלך את אשר כבר עשו. What's the end of the pasuk? חוכמה ultimately is as good as the beholder. If a person is very smart and builds things in a very wise way and then they die, all that is only as good as how smart the guy who comes afterwards is. It's depressing. It's depressing to think about the fact that you can build a system really wonderfully and then you have to pass it on to someone else who can probably will destroy it. How many businesses last 200 years? How many companies, how many institutions, how many yeshivot last 200 years? Velazhen. How much investment went into building Belgium in the beginning of the 18th century? It was gone by the end of the 19th century. What's left? That really depressing thought. Let's get Gimel. V'ra'iti ani sheyesh yitron, sheyesh yitron l'chokhma me'atzichlut ki yitron ha'om me'lachoshach. There's an advantage to being smart over being foolish, like the advantage of being in the light as opposed to being in the dark. Because the Chacham sees things, understands the world he's looking at. HaChacham inav b'yosho, v'akshir v'choshech olech. The Chacham has eyes in his head, the fool walks in darkness. V'yadati gam ani, but I know also, shemekre echad yekre et kulam. What does that mean in the Pasuk Yudalei? On the one hand, it's luring, it's enticing to see the potential advantages of Chachma, but what undermines that advantage? V'yadati gam ani she'? What does mikre mean? Curse. Shemikre echad yikre et kulam. The one occurrence happens to everyone anyway. What occurrence is that? V'yamarti ani v'libi, Pasuk Tevav. K'mikre haksil gam ani yikreni. So lama chachamti ani az yoter? If in the end, all the wisdom I have doesn't get me to a different place than it gets before, what difference does it make that I got there smarter? It's an honest, maybe honestly depressing recognition. What difference does it really make? If I was smarter, if I understood life better than the fool did, in the end it doesn't get me past death. Death is the great equalizer, and through that, the great underminer. Ki ein zichron lechacham umaksil leolam, kishekfar hayamim babayim hakol mishkach.
ואיך ימות החכם ממקסיל? How could it be that the wise man can die with a fool? How could it be? Put it that way. How desperate were people's attempts to transcend death? Think of the pharaohs, right? Wasn't just the five pharaohs, it was extreme, right? People who would bury their money with them. Let me ask you a question. People had seen what happened to graves, right? Meaning, it came a corpse, came a skeleton. Everyone had seen a skeleton in a grave, right? So what are you thinking? Why is a logical person burying their money with them? So they can enjoy it in skeleton form? Everyone knew that dead people were dead. You know, they touched them, they didn't speak, you know, right? Why are they burying their money with their jewels and everything? Because we're desperate. Because we need to try to believe in something. Because not only is it present to think that afterwards we have nothing, it undermines what we have when we have it, when we're alive. This frustration leads to what? What does frustration generally lead to?
Passion.
It usually goes to the stage of anger. I was talking about not 10 years ago, but not 11. Right? First thing people get, they're angry. You need to blame someone new. When you finally realize that there's no one to blame, it's just not fixable, you get depressed. But let's start with anger. What's a good sign? Visenati et? What's he angry at?
No.
At life. Sounds like a grumpy old man, eh? Grumpy old men have a lot to teach. Even more grumpy because young people don't want to listen. Visenati et achayim. כי ראה עליי המעשה שנעשה תחת השמש. He's angry at the system. כי הכל הבא בבית רוח. ושמאתי את כל, אני את כל עמלי. אני אין בלי להיות את הכלים. שאני אמר תחת השמש. שאני חמר לידם שיהיה אחריי. I'm frustrated about the stuff I leave over to the next guy. Why is he frustrated about leaving stuff for the next guy? Hey, that's a good tip. ומי יודע חכם יהיה על שכם? מי ישלט בכל המלאי שאמרתי ששכחמתי תחת השמש? גם זה הבא. How does Tosk get that explain why he's frustrated living it over? As I said before regarding the Chachma, what's he saying here? My possessions. He could blow it all away, right? Why should we go to someone who could blow it all? Pasuk Chaf. Disaboti ani adin. Liya'esh et libi. Yirush means despair. I put myself into despair. I'll call her Amar Sha'amarti Tachat HaShemesh. Ki yesh Adam Sha'amalo Bechokhma Uvedat Bechishron Uli Adam Sha'lo Amar Bo Yimeru Chalko Gam Zeh Ebo Ve'Aba Ki Meru Vela Adam Bechol Amalo Vahol Nibon Shu'ala Tachat HaShemesh Ki Chol Yamav Machuvin Vachas Inyano Gam Balayla Lo Shechav Nibon Gam Zeh Ebo Hu. What added dimension is he adding in these books of the Chav to Chav Gimel about giving it over to the next guy? The first point he mentioned in Pasuk Yud-Tet is that it's frustrating because I don't know what he's going to do with it, right? He could blow it all! What's he saying here? A much more basic point. Come on. Principle of matter. Pasuk יש אדם שעמלו בחכמה ובדעת ובגשרה. We have one guy who worked hard using his wisdom and his understanding and his ability. הוא אדם שלא עמל בו יתמלו חלקו. And he's going to give what he got out of it too? Someone who? Who didn't work for it. פרצח אף אחד לא אומר לו אדם החום. What did I get out of all my work? פרצח אף גימו. All my days was pain and suffering and hard work. You know, at night I couldn't rest because I was so worried about doing things correctly. I should give it to someone who didn't work at all. It seems wrong in principle. I know that Kohart was a Republican. I should work hard and give the money over to some guy that didn't work. The answer is that's all. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay? You can translate it into your own reality, but it happens to everybody, okay? Imagine 18-year-old kid, 17-year-old kid, high school senior, everyone respects me except my parents, okay? You're sitting in the living room watching a football game, whichever kind of football you like to watch, okay? Oh, you have some chips out, some soda, you're lying down on the couch. You know, there's definitely, you have your shoes off. There you are, you're not going to do well. You did all your chores, your work, your homework, everything you're supposed to be doing, you did. I know that's impossible, but let's say, okay? You did everything you're supposed to have done. Nothing's meaning to you. You're kicking back all the football in. Father walks in from work. You lazy bum. You think I walk all the way, you can sit there on a couch like that? You're thinking. And, you know, if you're the better father, he'll get angry because you didn't do something. Hey, your shoes are on the floor. You know, I walk all the way, you can sit on a couch and put your shoes away. You're like, my shoes are high. Why are you so angry? Is it just the fathers are crazy people? One day you'll be fathers too. Yes, they shouldn't be crazy people. I want to explain to you the backdrop to that anger. Your father and mother were once normal people who had a life. They were also living the high life that you guys are living. What does high life mean? High life means where your parents pay your rent, electricity, gas, food, tuition, everything. And when you make money, it's your money. That's perfect. Your parents pay all your expenses and it's your money. Don't tell your parents about the scam you guys got running. Okay. You wonder why any person's right mind would get married. So God made this sex drive to make sure that, you know, people would get married anyway. And then he made this, like, Jewish religion rules that you have to get married in order to have sex, right? Because we were all a family. How many men want a family, right? Oh, yeah, family's very important. Okay, fine. Family. So Jewish people get married, okay? At the ripe age, they have a full head of hair, they're skinny, they have the whole lives ahead of themselves. And then they spend 20 to 30 years devoting the bulk of their time, money, energy, effort, mindset, and care to making sure their children are successful. Now, that person's 50 years old. Now they're fat, bald, have, you know, depressing, nostalgic memories of the good old days with me and my buddies. And you're looking at them like, you know, that's pretty desperate. You know what I'm saying? And what do they have out of all of it? What do they have after 30 years? So that's why we created the term nachas. Or nachas. Or nachas! As the English say, I think it's a bit dodgy. This nachas thing. What's pshat? They got nothing. They invested their whole lives on behalf of someone else. Especially if you live in America as opposed to England, where you pay, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 a year tuition. That's a lot of dollars. And whatever else you gotta pay for. What do you have in the end? It's not because you're sitting on the couch doing nothing. It's not because you didn't move your shoes. It's because you're sitting there in a high life that I made for you. And I'm looking in the mirror and wondering, what do I have out of all of this? There's a jealousy, an underlying frustration over the fact that I worked like a dog, and you're sitting there on the couch. And that's what God is talking about here. And the truth is, that's what everyone is. Because it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how much you accumulated, in the end you will die. It doesn't matter how many times you dye your hair, or how many wigs you dye, Donald Trump. It doesn't matter, in the end you're going to die. And leave it over to somebody else. And that's frustrating. So what's the conclusion? If it doesn't pay to build the world, if it doesn't pay to develop myself, what's the conclusion? It's interesting to see how he introduces it at the end of this first piece of analysis. And this is just the introduction. The rest of the Sefer is going through each one of these models in depth. So if you think you're depressed and, you know, affected by the morbidity of the introduction, just wait. Just wait. Look how he introduces his temporary conclusion at the end of the introduction. Ein Tov. Ein Tov be'adam she'yochal v'shatah v'heret nafsho tov ba'amalo. Kam zoro yitani kim yadalo kimi. Ki mi yochal o mi yochush chutz mimeni. Ki li'adam she'tov lefanav natan chukmah v'adat v'simcha. ולאחרותי נתן עניין לאסוף תכנות ותתור ותתקים גם. If it doesn't pay to do anything big, then we might as well just sit and enjoy whatever we can. There's nothing better than just eating and drinking. Eating and drinking as a, you know, a figurative idea are always the default when nothing else makes sense. This is called vegging. And you know, you had this thought, you had this idea, you had a mission, but you came to the conclusion that it doesn't matter and it doesn't pay, so you're just going to catch eat chips and banning food. And like red hot. Another bad thing. because it doesn't matter, right? Most of the society we live in is living this way. Except they believe in the meaning of pleasure. They just don't believe in anything else. And this was expressed beautifully by a singer named Robert Zimmerman. And have you heard of him? Otherwise known, his garish name is Bob Dylan. Who said, everybody must get stoned. Remember the song? If you study the words of the song, is what the study there. His point is, you know, this doesn't work, that doesn't work, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. Everybody must get stoned. Now what's the difference between pleasurable drinking and getting stoned? The real answer is a few beers. But saying conceptually the point is, do you love drinking? You can drink a certain amount, it makes you happy, you enjoy, etc. Something where you get stoned means they want to get plastered. That's a better word. They want to throw it away. They want to forget the world. Today we use drugs for that, not we. People use drugs for that. But sometimes it can even be with this minorly sadistic sense of, it doesn't matter, I'm going to damage myself. I'm going to take away my ability to think. And go! None of it pays! So guys will just eat, drink, and be merry. There's a passage in Sefer Yeshayahu where he's mocking the people living under siege in Yerushalayim. That they're saying, Achol v'shato, we're going to eat and drink, ki machar namut. If tomorrow we're going to die anyway. That kind of sense of, there's nothing to fight for. It doesn't matter anymore. Binge. That was a pretty depressing end to the introduction. The advantage of next week alone is we're going to start going piece by piece and really taking it apart and seeing what the issues are, what the nuances are, because right now we're seeing just, you know, very broad strokes. And next week we'll read the poem. You know what's a poem? It's made into a song. And it was a song, right? That'll be the Hebrew song. There is a season turned, there is a reason to, and even at a purpose, under heaven. Just Sammy and me? Okay. Guys, for next week, home with the birds. There is a reason and a purpose under heaven. It's there. But at least somebody's learning Tanakh. The Jews aren't, we'll have to leave it to the singers. Robert Zimmerman, the birds, and Chapin. Alright, I hope you have a good week.